sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Here endeth the reading of God's holy word.
Amen.
Jesus, for your word. We thank you, God, yes, for the Jesus. Promise and the product of Joseph's life, oh God. We thank you, Jesus, that there is a word of testimony for us to hear and to be revealed, that we can understand your word is true, and we yes, need Lord. Not be ashamed nor be fearful, oh God, yes, but we accept, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, this type of Christ, this example to us, and we embrace, Lord, the truth that it leads us to see about our own lives. Jesus, help us to move forward in great faith and to dream great dreams in your kingdom, because you are giving them to us. We accept them in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. We will be despised, church, if we love the words of Christ and we speak the words of Christ. Some will despise. Some will turn away. Some will not accept us. But yet we see these examples of Joseph's life when we can say he was not wise to reveal his dreams. He was not wise to speak what he spoke. Yet I ask you, if he did not do this and his brothers did not hate him, and if he was not sold into slavery, what would have the end of Jacob's family been? God gave him those dreams and he compelled him to tell the truth. And sometimes you hear a dream or a move of God's spirit in your life and you wonder, should this be told? And I encourage you to listen carefully to the word of God and to allow God to speak into your life and tell you, this is my word for this time, and I will reveal it from you if you will be only willing and ready to speak. And I pray this for every one of us, that I would not dream up my own word, but I would seek the word from God, that I would seek his heavenly word. Can you say amen? That I would amen. Seek and desire his great word. Praise the Lord. I want the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. The scripture tells us that Joseph reveals an earthly man can be prophetic revelation of heavenly purpose.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. Joseph reveals that an earthly man can be prophetic revelation of heavenly purpose. I'm going to draw some comparisons between Joseph and Jesus, and I want you to consider the life of the man Joseph and how he reveals to us this Lord and Savior of our Passover, this Jesus whom we serve. Joseph faithfully worked in his father's business of caring for sheep. The Lord Jesus also worked faithfully for his earthly father. We know he learned to be a carpenter. As a teenager, Joseph saw visions of a greater purpose for his life. And Jesus dreamed and believed in being about his father's business at only the age of 12. Joseph's brothers despised him and his kingdom mindset. Jesus' brothers mocked his desire for kingdom ministry. They did not accept him. Joseph understood he was going to have authority over all of his family.
Amen.
And Jesus' first ministry was to that same entire Hebrew nation, where he had authority across the whole nation.
Amen.
Jesus searched for his, Joseph searched for his brothers and the sheep, and their hatred became more murderous for him as he went seeking them and trying to learn of their whereabouts. Jesus searched for the lost sheep of Israel, and they sought to kill him.
Amen.
Joseph's brothers were willing to have the pit become his tomb. And the Jewish brethren had Jesus' tomb sealed because they wanted him to be kept there forever. Ever. God had a different plan for each of them. Jesus was subjected to the corrupt powers in Israel and of Rome. Joseph was a slave to the corrupt nation of Egypt. It was called the place of sin. Jesus was tempted by Satan to give up his kingdom and live for pleasure. Potiphar's wife offered Joseph the earthly pleasures of life. Jesus was rejected by many during his Galilean ministry, and Joseph was imprisoned and forgotten. Jesus prophesied of the deliverance of Israel into a higher kingdom, and Joseph knew who was delivered and who would be destroyed. He knew who would make their way into the higher kingdom of the Pharaoh's courts. Amen. There are more illustrations and comparisons that we can make. Jesus was betrayed by a brother and taken to prison for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus' robe taken by men, they always carried his blood on their conscience from that time on. And we hear that Joseph's coat of many colors was soaked in blood and given to his father, and his brethren were always ashamed. Even to the time they met with Joseph, they knew their father. Jesus' life and death changed his family, his nation, and all ages to come. Joseph was delivered from death, and he provided bread to all the nations. The prophecy says that not one of Jesus' bones was to be broken at burial. And Joseph's bones were buried after they were taken back to the land of Israel by the children of Israel. And so I wanted to share with you tonight the thought that God is speaking deeper things when he gives us the story of Joseph, when he reveals to us the dreams and the truths that he gave to Joseph, when he talks to us of his purpose in our lives. Joseph said to his brothers at the end of it all, "Ye evil against me, but God meant it for good to save much people alive." And Jesus knew that the hearts of all the people were evil against him,
yes,
but still he loved them.
Yes, amen.
And I want to tell you a little bit more about the subject of Joseph and Jesus in a few minutes, but I also want us to consider the beauty of this subject of Passover. You know, sometimes we are drawn in to call the Passover Easter. And I want to remind you that there are many nations who consider the word Easter to be actually an evil statement or a wicked word. And yet, that has become tradition among us in the West. You see, Easter is a tribute to the fertility goddess Ishtar. This is what Constantine named the time of celebrating the death of Christ, and he wanted to combine and mix this worship of the Lord or whatever Christianity would offer with the worship of the fertility goddess Ishtar or Ashtoreth. And we see this evidenced. People give eggs out. Well, that's a symbol of fertility, and Easter bunnies and different things are given to symbolize fertility. This is from the demonic celebration of the worship of Ishtar. And there's an enemy of our soul that wants to imprint his idea and his plan for God's people into our minds and our hearts. We need to be careful what we call this time of celebration. Many times I've called it Easter, and I've taken to calling it Resurrection Sunday, or why not just call it Passover? This is the Passover, the true Passover, not the one of Egypt, but the final Passover, when God says, "I will allow your sins to be washed away from you and to change your life forever." Amen.
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 We are encouraged to seek the true Passover, the true Lord. And sometimes when we are reading the Gospels and the life of Christ, we miss the truth and the depth of what God is doing at the time of Jesus' words. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, there is a verse that I think every one of us could quote from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yet, in this most familiar verse, we are sometimes unaware. We are unsure of what time this was or when this was spoken.
That's right.
You know that Jesus said these words at the time of a Passover during his ministry. And Jesus had just met with the man Nicodemus. And these words were spoken during the time of his nighttime meeting with Nicodemus during Jesus' visit to Jerusalem at Passover. Mm-hmm. And so when we read the words again and hear them again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, we need to take context and understanding of the depth of these words. Amen.
Amen.
In John chapter 3, Jesus declared to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." That's what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And Jesus spiritually led Nicodemus to ask, "How can these things be? How can I be born again?" There is always an earthly and a heavenly story being told. That's in Scripture. Right. There is always a higher lesson or a higher truth that we can accept and receive. And yes, Joseph, the story of Joseph was no exception. He was a man who tried to understand heavenly things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord. I'm going to read to you a little bit more about what Jesus said during the Passover of John chapter 3. And this is, in fact, the place where we hear more about earthly and heavenly. "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Amen.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then comes the word of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
The scripture that we shared earlier tonight, it is perhaps the only place where we are sure that Jesus told his disciples how he would die.
Yes.
For it says the disciples look back in Luke chapter 24 and verse 7, and they said, "He told us he would be not just killed, but it says crucified." Jesus was that clear about what was going to happen to him.
Amen.
And yet his disciples could not understand God's purpose or understand why he died.
Amen.
The beauty of the scripture calls us to seek the truth of God and to know that he is speaking deep truth into our lives. These verses introduce a spiritual proclamation in our life, in my life and yours. "For God so loved." And I want to tell everybody that's on the line tonight, God loves you in amazing ways.
Amen.
God loves you in deep ways. God loves you so much, he came so that you could be saved. And there is no born-again experience if we don't deal with the heavenly and the earthly realities. These Amen. Verses that I've read to you from Jesus are an intersection between the heavenly and the earthly. And the born-again experience is when we let go of the earthly and we begin to seek the heavenly, when we begin to seek the spiritual things that God spoke about. Again, the scripture tells us clearly that Jesus did not say, "Oh, you can believe this however you want." No, he said, "I have told you earthly things and you don't believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Amen. And so we need to recognize and read the scripture for its depth, its meaning, and its purpose. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And there is a great battle of worship and prayer, even here among us tonight when we're sharing our prayer together and we're trying to seek heavenly things, there's a battle that this flesh and our mind wants to connect us to earthly things.
Amen.
But God is calling us to release the earthly things and to make a connection with the heavenly. Jesus is trying to liberate everyone here from our earthly fixations.
Amen.
He's trying to deliver us from the limitations of the flesh. And so I bring this message to you today just to tell you that Joseph, in the beautiful things that God revealed to him in dreams, was a picture of heavenly truth, that there would be a greater savior than the man Joseph.
Amen.
And the vision from Jesus is so much more wonderful, not just his family, not just a symbolic representation of the children of Israel, but all, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's amen. What gives glory to Almighty God.
Amen.
Our Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
praise
amen.
The Lord. And,
praise
and Jesus was hungry to be involved in his heavenly Father's business. And Joseph was sure that there was a deeper meaning to his life. And he overcame the mocking of his brothers, as Jesus also had to ignore the mocking of his brothers and to turn toward the kingly and kingdom purpose of God.
Amen, amen.
And as Jesus is now searching for the lost sheep, the lost ones whom he would want to save, amen, we can see that we have a Savior who loves us, praise God. He
amen.
Searched for the lost sheep of Israel, he said, even while they sought to kill him. And Joseph's brothers were willing to turn away from him and leave him forever in a pit which would become his tomb. But God had a higher purpose and sold for 20 pieces of silver, symbolic of the selling of a Savior of much higher value. God had a different plan for these men. God had an eternal plan and purpose that he was revealing in their
amen.
Lives. Praise God.
Amen.
I began the message saying we will have to deal with rejection in this life if we will
yes,
speak
amen.
This truth.
Amen.
And I want this gospel to be as the scripture commands it. I want my life to beautify the gospel. I want
amen.
My life to show
praise
the
God.
Glory of God's goodness and to be kind and loving and a blessing to all people around me. But I realize, I understand, I know that there is a separation that happens to those people who can only see the earthly. They will make no connection
mm.
to the heavenly word, and the heavenly purpose of God. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus prophesied of the deliverance of Israel into a higher kingdom. Amen. Jesus could see that there would be an eternal kingdom that Israel would be translated to or delivered to if they would accept his gift and his sacrifice. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And we see again at the cross, one more time, I'll mention that the robe of Jesus was not torn or ripped apart, but it was kept as something precious, and it was symbolic to these men. And yet we see Joseph was also hated for the robe that he wore and what it represented, his special favor with the Father. I want us to know that God has a great purpose for our lives, and Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And
amen.
I want to make one more comparison between Joseph and Jesus. And I want you to consider with me that history has now borne out that Joseph's sons were Ephraim and Manasseh.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 20 years, they have found inscriptions in caves and in stones throughout the nation of Egypt. As they've excavated and done archaeology, they've found many things proving these stories to be true. They've even found the place where Joseph had them store the grain, and they realized they were not in the pyramids or anything like that, but they were underground granaries. That they would dig a hole even below the bottom of the granary, and they would take the grain out from the bottom and haul it back up hundreds of steps. And that's how they were able to store the grain in stone underground, basically, and protect it for millions and millions of people to eat for the 7 years of famine.
Amen.
And so as they discovered these things and began to look into the archaeology of this, they found some amazing things, particularly of the lives of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. They found that these men had taken the knowledge that they had from Joseph, and Joseph, of course, received his knowledge from Jacob, who received it from Isaac, who received it from Abraham, and Abraham had come from the Mesopotamian region. And I don't want to get too deep into this whole story, but the Mesopotamian region was the first hieroglyphs, or the first language that was written in pictures. It was a picture language, and you can study the Rosetta Stone and how they found out what these languages meant, and they were made in pictures. And you can see that Joseph's sons took what the knowledge they had of their father's language, which was a pictographic language, and the hieroglyphs of the Egyptians, and they combined the two and made the Hebrew language. It's Amen. Not been that well reported, but in the caves and in the stone inscriptions of Egypt, they have now found that Ephraim and Manasseh are credited with the first written alphabet in history. These are not hieroglyphs only, but these are an alphabet of letters that can be combined to make words. And this information is been slowly coming out as they found some of the letters and thought it wasn't true or thought it wasn't enough. Over the last 20 or 30 years, they've gathered the rest of the alphabet, and finally they found full inscriptions and words written in this ancient Hebrew language attributed to Ephraim and Manasseh. All 22 Hebrew alphabet letters have been found in the Egyptian inscriptions. Do you know what this means? This means that the knowledge that God gave to Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh is the precursor for all alphabets in the world. It's even before the Phoenician language. And the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet are Alpha and Beta. And so all of our languages, we call it an alphabet after the first, named after the first two letters in the Hebrew language. And I'm telling you this to help you understand that there is a rich and powerful meaning even in this parallel between Joseph and Jesus. They found inscribed in some mines deep under the earth the words of a Hebrew man who had learned to write Hebrew words. And he wrote a plea, "Oh God, please save me from here. Please deliver me." And we see that the people of Israel had maintained the faith that they had received from Jacob and from Joseph and from Ephraim and Manasseh, and they had continued holding on to their faith, and for 400 years they clung to that faith. They even wrote it in stone that there was a God who had saved them from the gods of Egypt and from the place of sin. And I want to tell you that you can cling to your faith. It's etched in stone. Jesus will bring you a deliverance. He will be the word that is the Logos, the written word of God and the living word of God that will Amen. Deliver you from this untoward generation and from the wickedness of this present time.
Amen.
Those earliest Hebrew letters were an alphabet built on cuneiform hieroglyphs, and if you look it up in Wikipedia, they say this amazing thing. Cuneiform is a logosyllabic script. It's a logosyllabic script, meaning they refer to it as a word script or the Logos. Mm. And Jesus is our Logos of today.
Amen.
They wrote words from an ancient language originally developed to write the Sumerian language of southern Mesopotamia, which is Iraq, and along with the Egyptian hieroglyphs, some of the earliest writing systems. And there are pictures, of course, representing words. But these earliest languages, the earliest Hebrew letters, are a logos to them, and Jesus is a Logos to us.
Amen.
400 years after the time of Joseph, Moses wrote the first logosyllabic word of the Old Testament. And we could study long and deeply into this word at the beginning of our Bible. It's the word Bereshit. And this Logos, Bereshit, is the first of all firsts under the Bible law of first mention. And I will not get deep into this teaching today, but if you study through the scriptures, in Isaiah 46, it says, God is speaking through Isaiah, and he said, "Have I not told you all things from the beginning? In Amen. The beginning, I declared to you." And the first words of the Bible are "in the beginning." And
yes,
God
Amen.
Is pointing us to these words, this word Bereshit, where he reveals, if you study out the pictorial meaning of this word, it literally declares the plan of God for salvation in the pictures of that word. And I won't take the time to get into all of that tonight, but I'm telling you that God did amazing and miraculous things through Joseph and through his sons and through the word that they learned to write and learned to share. And God is the revealed word in Jesus. The true Logos is the heart and plan of God. In Joseph, God established the first alphabet to share and his plan and his words. But Jesus is the true Logos that shares with us God's plan and God's words for our life. Amen. This is what leads to the Passover. This is the time that leads to when Israel was delivered from Egypt. This is what set them free. This is the precursor to what we have called Easter, that God would prepare a word and he would send it with his people and deliver them out of sin. And I'm preaching to you tonight, and just in closing, in the last few minutes, that God wants to give you his word deep in your heart. He wants to inscribe it in stone. He wants to shake you free from all deception and show you clearly that he has provided the truth in the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus, that there is a Savior who has been bought by this world for betrayal, but he is going buy you for salvation. He is the one that can cause judgment to pass over your life and to be passed on beyond the death that we all deserve. He is the one that died a death that delivers, and he is the one who rose with in newness of life. And yes, he did show us his hands and his feet and the spear mark in his side to say, it's true, it's all true. And Jesus is not a liar, but he is the declarer of the greatest Logos, the truth of God, written in our minds and in our hearts, that God has loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave us his son. Can you praise the Lord together for a few moments?
Hallelujah.
Can you clap your hands unto Jesus? Can you believe the Lord that he has declared a great word into your life? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
There is no Savior like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you have declared salvation and liberty. Lord, that you have given us a dream. You have given us a hope that you will be worshiped by all nations, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. In every language, every word will be given to glorify the name of the one true Logos, the one true Savior, the one who was declared in the beginning, from the beginning. God declared the end from the beginning. The end of the power of sin is the death of Christ. The end of the power of sin is the crucifixion and the blood that was shed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm so thankful
praise
for the cross. I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ. I'm thankful for the sacrifice. And I want to receive a dream. I want to receive a vision of God's purpose for my life. I want to lead many souls to the cross. I want to lead many people to bow before him and declare that he is the one true Savior, and there is none other like him. I want to declare that he is preeminent above the Joseph and the Moses and every other prophet of old, but he is the one true living word. Hallelujah. And he has been declared to us throughout all of the scripture, and he has prophesied to us from the beginning and unto the ending. Hallelujah. He is my Passover. He is my ticket of deliverance from sin and the judgment that I should receive. And he is the one that's going to pass me through the heavens and beyond the clouds to be with my Savior and in eternity. Hallelujah. And so I look to the author and the finisher of my faith. He is inscribing his logos upon your heart tonight. Love him? Would you thank him? Would you praise him together with me?
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, there is no Savior like you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
When we read other chapters and verses in Isaiah, the end of Isaiah 52 and the beginning of Isaiah 53. And we realize the courage of this man, Jesus. And I don't want to make this something that would seem like ego or male strength, but it says that though he was whipped and torn and brutalized, it says that his visage was marred more than any man. This is the greatest or most evil event of torture in all of history, is what the Bible was saying. And yet it says he was like a sheep who before its shearers is silent or dumb.
Yes,
it says he didn't open his mouth.
That's right.
As they cruelly beat him and tore his flesh from him and beat him with rods and tore his beard. And as they removed all of his dignity and as they reviled him and hated him, even as they nailed him to a cross.
Yes.
The scripture says that his courage and his honor and his bravery was so high. His purpose was so sure. His focus was so unchanging that he did not utter a word.
Amen.
He did not speak a word of complaint, nor did he cry out, I know I don't have that kind of strength and conviction in me. I would be tortured and brutalized and scream in pain, I'm sure. But yet there was something of God that came upon him that loved us so much that says, all of this is in the past. This is only the earthly dream. This is the only, the earthly way, the savageness of men, the blood and the score of mankind doing its worst. But there is a dream of something higher. There is a dream for your life of something greater. And Jesus is speaking into your life right now. He is inscribing on your heart something as sure as if it was written in stone. His logos is that you will have courage and bravery to follow the high calling of Jesus Christ.
Oh,
you will have the glory and the grace of God that cannot be compared with anything on this earth. And your power to see God and to believe God and to follow God is otherworldly. It's beyond any torture of this world. Any suffering of this world pales in comparison. The scripture declares, it has not been seen nor understood that which shall be revealed unto the sons of men, who shall be glorified in heaven and be with their heavenly Father. God is speaking unto us about our tribulations and trials to say, and it's saying it's not worthy to even compare with a moment in heaven. Hallelujah. I know we suffer. I know in our minds we allow ourselves to be overcome. But Jesus is the true Lamb of glory. And Jesus is the word that is manifest, and Jesus will be manifest in your life. But the question remains, will you join his dream? Will you join his vision, his high calling, It says that we are walking in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Mm. Will you join yourself to his dream, to that vision of being in heaven with the Lord forever and all time? Would you turn away from the suffering of this world and the limitations of this fallen earth that we are in that would drag you down, and brothers or sisters or people of this world who would doubt you and revile you and even be evil against you? And would you turn your heart to God and recognize that there is a high calling for those who desire the cross of Christ?
Amen.
Would you agree with me? Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
That we must unburden our soul.
Yes.
We must unburden our soul of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Would you take into you a deep burden of Christ that says, I must communicate his love. I must share this glory. I must acknowledge his sacrifice.
Yes.
I will not be one who will add to his suffering, but again,
Jesus.
I will glorify him. I will worship him.
Yes.
I will not be held guilty of returning him to the
Jesus.
Cross or trampling his blood underfoot, but I will exalt him.
Yes.
I will lift him up on high. I will seek the will and the purpose of God.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And we praise him together.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We honor you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Oh, thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, he's still here. I feel there is still a moment among us here to minister. I feel God compelling me to minister to you tonight. And I don't know the nature of your need tonight, but I want to speak into your life the love and the healing of God. No matter what you have suffered in life, God is greater than your pain. And no matter what you may have encountered in your week or in your day, no matter what your family members may have said to you, or those who have left you have left behind in their own way, Jesus is reaching for your heart tonight. The greatest message that could ever be told is the message of the grace and the love of Christ. He suffered intentionally. He took our sins and he nailed them to the cross.
Yes.
He was the active one in choosing that cross. He knew God's plan soon enough, and he would not turn away. He would not reject it. And I'm speaking into somebody's life right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
That the Lord Jesus loves you so much that there is deliverance for you.
God, thank you, Jesus.
There is healing for your family
Jesus.
And even those who have rejected you.
Jesus.
There is grace if you will embrace grace for those who are lost. Jesus. God will give them grace through your life.
Hallelujah.
It says that Jesus himself learned obedience through his sufferings, and we wonder why we suffer. And then I remember how much I need to know about obedience, how much I need to learn about his faithful love. How much I need to submit to his authority.
Thank you, Jesus.
I wonder if I could speak into anybody's life healing right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Healing in your family.
Thank you, Jesus.
Healing in relationship to brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Jesus.
Where we can put the past in the past.
Thank you, Jesus.
Healing of relationships of marriage or parents.
Thank you, Jesus.
Healing of relationships in those who have even intentionally wounded us. And we could begin to give for them in prayer. To say a prayer for them, to give for them, is to begin the process of true forgiveness.
Jesus.
Would you pray for others, those that have wounded you? Yes, Jesus,
Lord.
Bless
Hallelujah.
Him. Bless her. Bless them, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
That I may attain unto the salvation of Christ, which comes through forgiveness of my sins, and therefore I must forgive.
Yes,
show me
Lord.
How to give for the lost.
Yes,
help me
Jesus.
To help me to love the lost.
Yes,
Jesus. And there is healing also for the body. Mm-hmm. We have prayed many times on this channel for those who are sick among us and those near and far, but there is complete healing for your body tonight in Jesus' name. For as his skin was removed, as he was torn and ripped, it says that those stripes were for your healing. And you are delivered from all affliction in the name of Jesus Christ. I now declare it.
I now declare it
into your mind, into your soul, and into your very fibers of your body. Lord Jesus, you are the healer, the deliverer. Hallelujah. And further, I declare the ministry of the Holy Spirit into your life, that there is salvation for all whom you will pray for, if they would but receive it. If you would pray for them in faith, they only have to acknowledge and accept it, and God can fill them with all the power of his Spirit. If you have been filled in the name of Jesus and baptized in the name of Jesus, there is nothing that is withheld from you. The power of God is upon you to minister mightily to all that you would know.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are not limited. You are not limited by your human condition. But if you seek the heavenly, there is an unlimited mercy,
Jesus,
and an unlimited anointing that can flow from your life in Jesus' name. Can you give me, can you help me to give praise to the Lord for this truth? We love you, Jesus. We praise you, God. You are the one. You are the one. You have declared it in your death and in your life. You have declared victory and power, healing, Lord Jesus, virtue, deliverance, and salvation. Oh, God, there is none like you. I praise you, Jesus, for what you have done, for what you are doing, for what you will do. I praise you, mighty God, for your favor, for your blessing, and for the truth of your love. You are honorable, you are high, you are holy, oh God. And I lift up your name, Jesus. There is no God like you. You are here to impart gifts upon your people, gifts and ministries, oh God. We earnestly desire the best gifts, oh God, that we would heal and bless and favor and speak, Lord, according to your will, that we would do all that is in your purpose for our lives, that our lives would have eternal significance and eternal by the glory of God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.